Back here live on Ryer on YouTube. It is midday Sunday, December the 7th, also known as Selection Sunday for the 2025 college football playoff. The Alabama Crimson Tide makes the field despite the abysmal performance in Atlanta yesterday in the SEC championship game, falling at the dominant hands of the Georgia Bulldogs 28-7. Much better news. The sun did rise in the Southeast, and it rose once again on Alabama football as the Crimson Tide makes the 12-team field. Interesting watching the reveal in real time. You saw essentially, other than the swap of Indiana, Ohio State at 1 and 2, you saw the next six picks really go to chalk, go to what we had seen before conference championship Saturday. In other words, Ole Miss 6, Texas A&M 7, Oklahoma 8. And as we know, those were three teams that did not play football on Saturday, and they stuck in those spots. So that gave me a little bit of optimism for Alabama as far as at least being in that 9-10 range. I'll be honest, I didn't really expect 9. I thought there was a real possibility where the Crimson Tide could land at 10 and make the field. And as always, you know, Vegas, right? Vegas usually will give you a pretty good indication. It seemed like Alabama was trending positively with the folks out in the desert as well. So it will be on the weekend of the 19th and the 20th, just a couple of weekends away, quick turnaround, Alabama and Oklahoma in Norman. Didn't go so well for Alabama out there a year ago. Didn't go so well back in, 2002 was at that game in Norman. That was a hell of a game. Much better effort, I thought, from Alabama under Fran than what we saw a year ago. Weather, a lot of things to take into consideration. We'll get more into the matchup in the days to come here on Ryer on YouTube. Certainly Chase Goodbread, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News, will be a big part of that as well. But for Alabama, no apologies required. You know, in relation to the three teams that were essentially vying for the two spots, I think you could certainly make arguments for all three. I think at the end of the day, the body of work, the schedule strength, the quality wins, those type of things worked in Alabama's favor, or should have anyway. You still had your doubts. I mean, I said right here on the channel last night, my gut was, in the sort of hour or so after that game, you didn't feel real good about it. But in the eyes of the committee, it feels like it was essentially done after last week's ranking. When the Crimson Tide moved up to 9, that felt like a little bit of a buffer in case of something like what we saw yesterday. But even with that, the committee sticks with Alabama at 9. And again, arguments, frustration, wailing, all those things. I think if you're Alabama and you'd gotten left out, especially after the way that football team looked yesterday, understanding, and I said this last night, I thought Kalen DeBoer was ready. I thought he was ready. I don't know if he necessarily needed it in retrospect after what we saw with these rankings today with Alabama still at 9, but he was ready when the time came to kind of make his point. We're going to find out if Alabama can get ready on the field, because a lot has to improve in these next couple of weeks. And to that point, Kalen DeBoer is assured that this will be a different looking team in a couple of weekends, based in large part because of the health of this football team. You get Josh Quavis back, Jam Miller potentially, but there's still some issues with this team that have to be rectified, the kicking game being a part of that, because this is still an Oklahoma team that beat you largely in a similar fashion to how Oklahoma beat you, or Georgia beat you yesterday. Kicking game, short fields, big takeaways, pressure on the quarterback. You know, those are things that are going to have to be addressed. And, you know, it's not just Alabama that should be healthier. It should be Oklahoma too. I mean, Alabama missed some key guys for Oklahoma in that last go around. And guys like John Mateer with that thumb should be much better after not having to play conference championship weekend and then still having a couple weeks to get ready for the Crimson Tide. You know, for Miami, you feel like the right thing was done in relation to Oklahoma, or excuse me, to Notre Dame, because, well, the head-to-head, it still had to matter. if I'm Notre Dame or whoever got left out, my bigger grief is with this format, you know, where you got two G5s. I thought Nick Saban offered up some real talk just a little while ago on the reveal show and saying, look, you know, it's nice to have representation from that level, but man, you got the turd in the punch bowl with this field is you got two in James Madison and Tulane, and you already saw Tulane lose by 5 touchdowns to Ole Miss earlier in the season. Now, maybe with some of the turnover and the transition that's going on in Oxford, that impacts the Rebels. I'm not convinced of that. I think Charlie Weiss Jr. being around to dial it up for Pete Golding and Pete running things on the defensive side and the quarterback situation being as good as it is right now and having a run game, it's a nice thing to have, isn't it? Ole Miss has got that with Kewon Lacy. So that's the biggest issue with this 12-team field. And if you're Notre Dame, you had really 3 opportunities to make good on during this season. 2 of those were the first 2 games of the season, right? Miami, Texas A&M, lost both of those. And so when you look at Notre Dame's resume, the only other real opportunity was USC, won that game, okay? You know, and the same thing for Miami. I mean, you're talking about a team that didn't make the conference championship game for a league that has a 5-loss champ in Duke. Essentially, James Madison is representing the ACC, or would have been if Miami had gotten left out. And that's the ACC this year. So no apologies required. Some apologies for the performance yesterday from Alabama? Yes, I think. And I get it. Injuries, all those things. But that was a total take apart of a proud team, a proud program, both in terms of on the field and apparently the week leading up to it from a preparation standpoint, just totally unacceptable. You know, it's one thing to be outmanned and outgunned, but that was complete from top to bottom. What else do we have here? Get into the show comments. Hey, jump into the chat. We're going to let this thing run for about as long as you guys would like it to go. Vinny chiming in here. Bama should rest. Go play a bowl game. Get back up some playing time. Vinny is not optimistic. That or Vinny may be a fan for another team. Look, you're always going to be happy to make a college football playoff. Does that erase everything we saw yesterday? No. As I talked about right from the outset. Take it to the house chiming in here. Hope we can get right some wrongs in Norman. And he offers up the hearty congratulations. Boy, how do you think Kalen DeBoer is feeling right now? If Alabama's left out of this thing, we won't spend much time on that because it doesn't matter. But be rough to try to pick up the pieces and limp back to maybe one of those Florida bowl games with absolutely nothing on the line. Foodie Austin chiming in here. I can't justify Ty's accuracy and long ball magically improving when some guys get healthy. I hope I'm wrong. I think there's got to be more versatility in that offense regardless. I don't disagree with you in terms of Ty having his issues. It feels to me, I was talking to one of my football buddies earlier today. It feels to me in retrospect, like his season took a turn on that hit from Dylan Stewart in the South Carolina game. You know, you remember the hit I'm talking about? It wasn't a sack, but South Carolina ran a game and Dylan Stewart came right up the A gap. And just as Ty got the ball off, he got crushed. Now he took some big shots too. But the point goes back to what other offense really in this playoff is leaning on the quarterback and the passing game as much as Alabama is right now. I mean, you watch Ohio State and Indiana last night. They can at least supplement with the run. Do they have very good quarterbacks? Absolutely they do. But in a lot of ways, when I watch Ohio State and Indiana offensively right now, it feels like I'm watching Jim McElwain. Or Nuss, 2009-2012 kind of offenses. Under center, hard play action, run the ball legitimately. And a lot of it's a mindset. So once we get beyond the playoff, and I don't want to get that far ahead, but there will certainly be a time. We even talked about it on Aftermath last night. There will be a time for legitimate and thorough introspection, because it's tough to make a living when you catch as much as Alabama catches. And when I say catch, I'm not talking about the football. They catch strikes, right? Georgia delivered strikes last night. Now, Alabama did some good things, especially on the back end. I mean, a couple of DBs laid the wood to Nate Frazier. That's great. But I'm talking about within the numbers. Now, you try to play 13 games in the Southeastern Conference or go to a 9-game schedule next year, and you're catching on both sides of the football as much as Alabama does? Yeah, probably by the 12th, 13th game, you're going to feel it. There has to be a mindset of some sort that, whether it's the run game or just any aspect of especially offensive football, you have to deliver strikes. You know, if you're catching blitzes the whole game, you know, you see Daniel Hill last night, man. I give that guy credit. Apparently, he's playing hurt. He's stepping up into those A gaps, and Georgia's two inside linebackers just bring it. Raylan Wilson and CJ Allen, you catch enough of those. You saw Alabama on the back end catching. All right. I'll chill out for just a little bit. But the point is, you got to have more than Ty. You know, it's funny how all these comments are always Ty. Well, what about the rest of the offense? What about blocking people? What about at least threatening with the run game? Allen chiming in. Who do we get back if you say Quavis is out? This will be a short postseason. Yeah, I mean, that to me is where it starts offensively. I mean, you got to get him back. We heard from Kalen last night. Cam Dewberry expected back jam. But I think Quavis is huge. I think he changes the way you have to defend them. They got to that a little bit last night with Edwards, but it was pretty much over with at that point. Sanjay chiming in here. How you doing, my man? He says Alabama got the easier side of the bracket. Well, I guess, you know, I think it's the more attractive side, because you'll be going to Pasadena if you get through the road game at Norman, right? I like that idea. I mean, it's a haul out there, but that would be cool. After watching Indiana last night, I don't know if there's an easier matchup with those two teams. Sig, man, you got to give that dude a lot of credit. And what I liked from both those teams is serious chins. Both those teams are built for it. And again, offensively, they are balanced and physical enough that, yes, Mendoza made some big throws late. But Mendoza, I thought, was concussed on the first play of the game. That dude comes back, plays his ass off. All the props. I know the post-game interview was borderline weird. How about that dude locking in on the camera while he's talking to you? Flipping champs. Hey, props. Deserves it. And the Julian Sayin revisionist historians, I'm sure they'll be in here. I thought he didn't play bad, threw the pick early. But the point is, with both those quarterbacks, it isn't entirely put on them to win the game. They're very good. But in a lot of ways, going back to my earlier point about 2010 offense still having a place in college football, that's what I see a lot with Indiana. Sig, you should see it. I mean, where did Sig learn it? You got guys under center. You got legit physicality in the run game. You got backs like Bo Jackson. How was that guy not the number one ranked running back in the 2025 class? That dude is advanced. You know, when we get in these running back rankings, it feels like a lot of times it's based almost entirely on, well, this guy had a 3,000-yard season. You know, what I want to know about running backs is instincts, vision, patience, first step efficiency, burst. kind of with that. Lean, pad level. Bo Jackson's got it. He's that guy for Ohio State. Edwards says he's happier to play Oklahoma than Texas A&M. I can see that both ways. I mean, I don't think A&M is exactly flying into this playoff. Look what happened to them in the second half of the Texas game. Now, Texas offered up some semblance of a run game in that second half when they blitzed the Aggies in Austin. But I think South Carolina was up 30-3 a few weeks earlier on Texas A&M in College Station. Antonio Frazier chiming in here says, only team I remember that got beat twice in a season was Florida to Bama in 1999, LSU to Bama 2010. Huh. I'm not sure about that second one. Yeah, I remember Alabama going into the swamp in 99 with Sean Alexander, Chris Samuels, Andrew Zowell. Missed extra point from Jeff Chandler of the Florida Gators, as I recall, was helpful to Alabama. And then hammered Florida in the 99 SEC championship game. 2010, LSU beat Alabama in Baton Rouge, as I recall. 2011, Bama, LSU played twice, but they split. We'll see. And I think Alabama with the committee got a lot of credit. In some ways, yesterday was a no-lose for Alabama. Because win, and you're maybe a top four seed, or at least playing a home game, lose, and you lost to a top three seed and the conference champion who you beat in the regular season. Antonio says Alabama has a clean shot to the title game. Just got to show up and play. Well, Antonio's feeling it. I think there's a lot to fix with this team. I don't think the defense is without criticism after yesterday. I understand the short fields were awful. It was more about the offense and kicking game. I'm totally on board with that. But you got to get off the field, even in some of those situations. At this point in the season, we'll see, though. Edward just chiming in randomly here with Nick Saban for commissioner. There you go. There's a vote. I think Nick is pretty happy in his current environs. Edward says everyone will be back except maybe Kevin Riley. Yeah, it kind of feels that way. You know, in retrospect, looking at those injury reports from the week, it almost felt like there was even some messaging going on there. Like maybe some of those guys like Quavis and Jam were at least in the ballpark of being able to play against Georgia, but keeping them as questionable instead of over there in the out column, because in that out column, you know, there could be guys from week three, you know, that are in there. That have been out. So you get so many guys in that out column, they kind of get overlooked. Now, you know, there was LT Overton over there and Kelby Collins. So you did have a couple guys over there. But I think, you know, you have Quavis in that questionable range, Miller, Dewberry, starters. It kind of stands out more in a championship week that you're not whole, you know, and it kind of makes you think all these other guys that Kalen sort of insinuated last night were beat up or, you know, playing with significant issues. You almost feel like, hey, why not list all those guys? Well, I mean, you also don't want to tip off your opponent. There's a balance there. Let's see what else we have here. Yeah, that's true. With Kalen and those two gamers, he did get Lanning in 2023. You know, again, it will be great if you get all these guys back and they're really close or at full strength. But I still think, you know, the turnaround is so quick. It's not going to be perfect from a health perspective. There will be more guys available. Will they be 95%, 90% or better? Not all of them. You know, you're still going to have some issues. And, you know, Kalen has done a good job for the most part, yesterday excluded, in big stage situations. But this is a different beast in this league, and it's going to get even more different next year, more difficult with the ninth SEC game. Now you're going to open up. It's going to go to 16 games. And it'll be interesting to see what that format looks like, because I don't even think in a 16 game you can afford to have two G5s jumping in, unless they're 13-0 or something like that. You know, I don't think you can have two lost G5s in a 16 team field, let alone a 12. But it's a tougher road in the SEC. Not to devalue or discount what Kalen did at Washington, but you think back to the old Pac-12, if you really had it going, even with the Pete Carroll years, you think about what you navigated in a league like that compared to what you're navigating in the SEC. It's a different deal. Yeah, we saw a lot of Nakai Hill-Green yesterday with Deontay Lawson. We'll find out more. That's the question. I mean, I think you got to help him, though, CC. CC asking, can Ty's confidence heal? Well, help him out, you know? I think you can do some things from a plan perspective. Move him. Give him some of those quick throws. That's where Quavis coming back could help you. But there's other ways you can do it. But yeah, that was a rat trap Ty Simpson at times for sure yesterday. Yeah, Jim agrees here with the group of five participation. Scott wasn't happy with Kalen post game yesterday, and that based, I guess, on the performance, having the ball down 14 in a 21-7 game is not real indicative of competitiveness. That's a reasonable concern after yesterday. Just the non-competitive. Not that guys weren't playing hard. It just felt like the week was treated or approached as sort of an afterthought, starting with the people in charge. Jeff says he thinks the committee sent a message to Notre Dame, get in a conference or else. And I can tell you what Notre Dame's response will be to that. I don't think Notre Dame's going to go running. If Notre Dame runs to a conference, it should be the ACC. I mean, they can get the scheduling they want and pretty much dominate that league, I would think. You know, Miami should be in that same boat. Mario, just in terms of being able to get it done on a consistent basis. You know, Miami really didn't have a beef if they got left out today either. I don't feel like. I think the three teams, Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama, any one of those that got left out, you know, it was mirror time, I think. Football Junkie says Quavis out hurts the blocking scheme. It does. We talked about that on the channel. I think probably even more so in space. Now, you think about the options right now to block on the perimeter. Jeremy's about it. I think guys like Rico Scott, Lottie, they try. They're willing. Probably more so than Isaiah Horton. Horton's just not engaged as a blocker, really. Ryan's got his deficits, I think, physically. There are times where he looks like he's trying to get the job done, but certainly need to get Quavis back for OU. He was big that first go-around. Look, put up over 400 yards on that OU defense. But the OU recipe, we've seen other teams follow. with the takeaways. Short fields, that's going to have to be the case again. I think Alabama's defense in a couple weeks, Oklahoma, they're going to be fine in that area. It's just what can you get going offensively between now and then? And it's still going to start with taking care of the football. I don't think you have to reinvent the wheel. But you're going to have some mix that sort of slows down Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's going to do what we've seen defenses do here in the last month. They're going to shut down the middle of the field. And they're going to say, we dare you to work outside the numbers, corner routes, deep balls, and then can you protect? You know, when Venables draws it up. What else do we have here? Edward says he thought Kirby is going to lead the charge to kill the 9-game schedule. Kirby talked about that last night. And, he's got his concerns, as he talked about. Beat up football teams already in a conference championship game while you got other teams sitting at the house. I mean, all the memes, all the fun that was had at the expense of Alabama's -3 rushing yards. And by the way, sacks are included on that. So before sacks were taken out yesterday, Alabama had 20 rushing yards. So just keep that in mind. I'm being sarcastic, right? Miami kind of joking about that, their fans about, having more rushing yards than Alabama from the couch. Well, you know what else? For that same couch, they watched a 5-loss team win their league in Duke. Foodie chiming back in. Travis, what's the deal with Grubb going shotgun instead of under center to get 1 or 2 yards on fourth? Yeah, not a big fan of that. I guess, when you've got -3 rushing yards, if you're going to go under center and you're thinking you're going to throw it, what's play action going to do? Go under center and hey. But they're also against Oklahoma, which there wasn't yesterday, there's going to have to be some design quarterback run. If you kind of went into yesterday feeling like, yeah, we really want to win this game, but this isn't a season ending type situation, so we're not going to expose our quarterback as much. Well, you did it against Auburn because that was potentially a season ending situation, I'm sure. So you're going to have to get back to that. And if Ty is feeling it right now, you got to hope that by the time you get to a week from next Friday or Saturday, which, by the way, I haven't seen a schedule yet. I've got the bracket here, but in terms of game times, I'm going to refresh here. Still not seeing game times, what I'm looking at, which is from ESPN. I got to think schedule-wise, it's going to be Friday night, one of those, one of the G5 games, whether that's Tulane, Ole Miss, James Madison, Oregon. I got to think that's the Friday night game, because I don't think you want both those teams playing in your triple header on Saturday, right? I mean, you don't want a triple header that has James Madison and Tulane is in two of your three games. So I would think Alabama's playing on Saturday the 20th. Because their matchup is one that I think is going to be in that Saturday trio. I think that's a triple header, right? Yeah, I think so. Let's see what else we got here in the comments. Ben says, Ty is not him. Give DeBoer time to start his own QB recruit and let him play out his contract. We need a run first tough football mentality team. Well, we'll see. If at some point this regime sort of gets more into that. And there's a couple narratives out there. And the truth, as always, is usually in the middle. There's the narrative that Alabama just can't run the ball. And then there's the narrative that Alabama won't run the ball. And I think it's somewhere in the middle, as I've said many times on this channel. If you're looking for 2015 Alabama with Derrick Henry running the ball 400 times, that's not going to be this program under Kalen DeBoer. But if you're looking for somewhere in the middle, something even a little better than what Alabama had in, say, 2021 with Bryce and Brian Robinson and those guys, that's probably what you're looking at more so. Complimentary, but it still has to be efficient. And there still has to be a callus to your football team. That I think that's maybe the biggest area where Kalen and this crew is going to have to prove it. You still have to have that callus of physicality that you can lean on, not just at different points in games, but as you get deeper into seasons. Is this Georgia's best football team? No, not at all, not close. But they are calloused sons of guns. And you know where that comes from? Comes from Kirby. They are calloused. It's like going out and saying, you know what? I haven't chopped wood in 3 years, but I'm going to go out here and chop down three trees. Well, let's see what your hands look like after just a half of one. You don't have the calluses. You're not built for it. Same thing in football. That Bloody Tuesday stuff that you hear Kirby talk about, that ain't for the faint or weak of heart. Where did he get it from? Where did he learn that? So, there still has to be that mindset. It's a physical and mental mindset that you have to have some. And I don't know if you can just have some of it. I don't think you have to be entirely committed to it. I think Lane does a good job of it, especially on offense, because the misnomer with Lane is that they're just fun and gun and air raid and they run the football, man. And I think Kalen 2023, Washington, was that Dylan Johnson, the Mississippi State transfer? He was a 1,000-yard guy. No, he's about the only guy that ran it. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, there were some things last night, Antonio, where I'm sure in retrospect it's going to be minuses for Ty. But he also, it wasn't a great ball to Daniel Hill. That's what I was kind of waiting on with so much middle of the field coverage and what Georgia was bringing sort of between the tackles. Alabama likes to release backs and kind of sit them down in the flat up the field. It felt more like swings were the way to go last night. And then when they tried to hit Daniel Hill, same thing to Jam against Auburn, hit him. Didn't quite get his head around soon enough. Those are the opportunities you have to hit. And in games like this, CeCe's telling me Alabama OU Friday, the 19th at 8 p.m. So they do want to go. There it is. Yeah, thanks guys. Appreciate that. So they do want to go with brands right out the gate. I guess that makes sense, but boy, that's Saturday. I mean, what does that leave you Saturday? Well, I mean, Miami and Texas A&M, I would guess that has to be the prime time matchup Saturday if you're going to go Alabama OU on Friday. What do we got here from Ben? Ben wasn't happy with the first possession. Daniel Hill goes 3 yards and gets subbed out. I thought they ran it to Daniel Hill a couple times in a row on that first possession. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's see here. For the sake of clarity. Yeah, Daniel Hill, 5 yards on the first down run, 2 on the second. And then they run some eye candy in the backfield and try to get wide with Lottie and no gain, and you're punting. You're punting. It wasn't the opening script that necessarily relates to Oscars, But there was plenty to go around last night. We talked about it a good bit here. What else do we got? Wow. So the Aggies are going to be noon central against Miami, and we're going to get Oregon James Madison primetime Saturday night. Ooh. Hopefully the FCS playoffs will be on. You know, I might watch that. And kudos to James Madison, man. This has been coming. I get it. Sig had something to do with that too. But boy, that's some rough viewing. You think about, you know, if you could have had Oregon Notre Dame instead, or you know, that kind of matchup there. Ole Miss, Notre Dame, and Oxford. Oof. It's rough. Lee chimes in here. So you run 5 yards on first down, 2 yards on second down, makes it third and three, and you try to run it wide. Play calling is a problem. Yeah, CC makes a point. Sig has two teams, and he really does. You think about what he did at James Madison. Antonio says, first down should be a pass with this team. And I love this channel. Happy I came across it. Hey, thanks. Thanks, O. I have a brother named Antonio. We call him O. So, Antonio, you're going to be O on here too. I talked about that last night. It felt like there were sequences that were maybe needing to be flipped in certain terms of play calling. Second down calls that felt like third down calls and vice versa. You can't say you don't know OU. And same thing. I mean, it works both ways. But familiarity isn't going to be an issue. And we've been told that Alabama will be far more whole with an emphasis on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you got to think defensively, too. I mean, LT Overton, Kelby Collins. And other than Tim Keenan last night on that defensive line, you can talk about the short fields and all those things. You missed LT Overton in some spots, not just on your punt team, apparently, but had some chances to get off the field. And Georgia just really kept it very simple because they didn't need to. You know, they didn't need to go hold my beer and watch this mode. They only ran for 141 yards, but controlled the game. And really, you look at that 141, but then look at guys like Branch and Dylan Bell and some of those guys, Cash Jones, even the tight ends. And it's the throws last night in air were not 10 yards or more. And that's Alabama's defense never forced that from Gunnar Stockton. The quick throws, the easy throws. And then when you start looking at Branch in the quick game, Bell in the current quick game, Jones out of the backfield, you can go ahead and throw those on the rushing stats too. How many times, I guess, Georgia finally, you knew this was coming because they were working the quick game so heavy out wide. You knew the screen and go was coming. And I think it was Lawson Lucky had an 18-yarder on that. You know, Dylan Bell had a 19-yarder. Zach Branch had a 17-yarder. It wasn't explosive plays. But you could have used still. I mean, you never really got to a situation where you forced Gunnar Stockton to sit in the pocket and really work up the field. But when you did, like the first touchdown pass he had, where he had all day back there against a four-man rush, that's where you miss guys like LT Overton. All right, Lee chiming back in here. He says, I thought the defense did pretty good in putting them in bad spots with a black block punt or an interception. That's not the defense. No, absolutely not. I mean, the short fields are tough to deal with. But, you know, this defense has reached a point, to its credit, that you expect a little better than four touchdowns and four opportunities for Georgia. And that's what happened last night. Credit to Georgia. They got the job done. But sure, back to your point, last night was certainly much more about the offense and special teams. Anything else, gang, before we get out of here on a Sunday? Let you get back to the NFL or the it's kind of become like a telethon. Remember the Jerry Lewis telethon? It's kind of what the college football playoff reveal show has become. You know, they should have a tote board. Ed McMahon, ghost of Ed McMahon over there. You know, and Jerry Lewis could throw it over there for the updates. How many of y'all stayed up all night? Old farts like me. You'd stay up all night. What was that? Wasn't that like Labor Day Sunday? That marathon, that telethon? It was great. I mean, great. Yeah, CC. DeBoer did kind of point to the missed block there on the punt block. I thought nothing was good, though, on that whole thing. There was penetration. The snap wasn't great. I think Dowd is still slow getting it out sometimes. He's got this short step, and then into his plant. It didn't look good from the snap, you know? I hear you, O, who says last year and first game this year, he wanted Kane Womack gone, but it's been better. It has been better. I kind of felt the same thing. Got to give the kudos to Kane Womack. Saw where that Southern Miss job came open. Do you see that? Charles Huff, the former Alabama assistant, spent a season in Hattiesburg. He's moving on. I wouldn't think for a coordinator at Alabama that would be a particularly attractive opening. But you do think these AAC openings, you know, with all these guys moving on. We've already seen South Florida make a hire, Memphis hiring Huff. So there's already been dominoes falling that direction. And Kane was in that mix, apparently, for Arkansas before it settled on Ryan Silverfield. So, yeah, I think the defense it's giving you more reason for optimism here down the stretch than the offense or the kicking game. So just in the sort of process of elimination, you've fallen to the defense. But again, hopefully you get guys back healthy and that helps you. T. Smitty chimes in and says, I'm surprised no one has tried to hire Schumann. Yeah, you know, you would think kind of on that Dan Lanning track. Really hasn't happened as of yet. And some guys, you know, you still got to interview too. And I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe Glenn Schumann's a great interview. But for some of these guys, it's not their thing. And some guys are just like, unless it's absolutely the job I want, I'm good. I'm good being a coordinator at a place like Georgia. I mean, how many head coaching jobs around college football are really a better situation than the one he's in right now? Understanding that the viewpoint is that Kirby's a defensive guy and this is still his defense. But Kirby, I thought, did a solid for Schumann last night, even if everybody thinks that, kind of like Andy Reid with the offense in Kansas City. He really went out of his way last night to credit Glenn Schumann, as he should. You know, I thought, you know, still some things that can happen here, okay? But I kind of felt like last night that Alabama was more, I don't know. We'll get more into it this week with Oklahoma coming up. But Alabama felt a little Mark Richtish last night. You know what I'm saying? Alabama felt more like Georgia Richt. And that's not to say Mark Richt wasn't a very good coach and didn't have great teams. But it kind of felt that way. Felt like a Saban Richt matchup a little bit last night. Anyway, we'll see what happens here. Still time again to get some things right before what Alabama fans hope is a pretty good run in the playoff. I like the matchup, USMC 2673. I like the matchup. You're right. In terms of total yards, all those things. Did a good job in the red zone against that defense. I think it's a good visual for Alabama that is coming off a performance like the one yesterday to maybe help them bounce back. It goes both ways. You know, OU's playing at home, going to be healthier, I would think, on the defensive side of the ball. And so even with Alabama being the early favorite, as we're learning right now in that game, which is a little bit of a surprise, but when you go to just about every metric of that first matchup, Alabama clearly had the advantage, but, you know, some metrics mean more than others, like takeaways, return yards, hidden yards, punt returns, interception returns. You know, and every week is different, as we've said many times on this channel. And with that, we're going to step aside on a Sunday. Coming up later this evening, Chase Goodbread will be with us on Talking Tide right here on Ryer on YouTube. Hit us with a thumbs up if you don't mind. Thumbs up, a like would help us out tremendously. If you haven't subscribed to this here channel, please do so. If you haven't hit the follow button with me here on X, we welcome you to do that at Travis Ryer on X, TravisReier. One more thing from Hunter here before we get out. Hunter says, I think the committee said here, Alabama, you want to be in, then here, let's make you play the team you can't seem to beat. You know, look, you never know what, just get in the tournament. Get in the tournament, Hunter. Once you get in, you never know. What were we thinking of? What were we thinking of Ohio State last year after it lost to a 6-5 Michigan team in Columbus? Didn't make it to the Big Ten championship game. Was in this very game. Went in an 8-9. It might have been a 7-10 with Tennessee. Either way, you know, it was one of those kind of games. Now, Ohio State did have the game at home, but even with that, Tennessee fans kind of took over the horseshoe, as I recall. And then OSU goes on that run. Now, OSU had some damn running backs in a run game, too. Can Alabama muster anything resembling that? We're going to find out here in the next couple of weeks. Thanks again for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. And until next time, so long, everybody.